ladies and gentlemen, of this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017. I almost want to say 22nd. It seems like time is compressed, or time is just going flying by. The reason I want to mention the date is August is a really an interesting month. If you go back to 1971, Nixon had taken us completely off the gold standard. So many things happened in August 74, of course. During August, Nixon resigned. That's just one president. We're seeing a lot of things take place during the month of August here as August does come to a close. And I would really urge everyone to tune into our my show in the morning and Joe and John's show in the afternoon as well. I know time is precious, and I know that you only have so many hours in the day to listen, but I think it would be good to get the news from our individual perspectives as well. So I want to mention that. And I also want to thank Global Star Radio and Blog Talk Radio for being partnered up in our radio endeavors. And I want to thank you, the listener, as well, and viewer as well, because you make what we are. Speaking of, we had a situation. I had a situation where I wanted to thank someone. Send a gift in the name of our business. The perfect gift, and I'll tell you, this is a crowd pleaser, is Omaha Steaks. I sent a package, Omaha Steak package, to one of our people who had done so many nice things for us. And I got a call when he received it, and he was just so excited. You can't go wrong. If you are looking for that very perfect business gift, it's something that's simple to give and a joy to get. That's exactly what Omaha Steaks business gifts deliver. Now, Omaha Steaks has got a huge variety. They've got flexible gift plans for big and small businesses, personalized one-on-one service. They handle delivery. I have used this. Joe and I together have used this. The package that we received was just fantastic. The package that we sent was fantastic. The quality of the food, in fact, some of our favorite items include the bacon-wrapped tri-tip steaks. Oh, they're just fabulous. But Omaha Steaks is the place to shop. Right now, you can experience for yourself what makes these business gifts so unique. We have got an exclusive offer for you. Order the perfect business gift to try the Omaha Steaks gift experience for yourself. Or send it as a gift. Get it for yourself or do both, actually. The perfect business gift includes 4 ounces of bacon-wrapped tri-tip steaks. This is what Joe and I were talking about. Joe and I just love those. Omaha Steak Burgers, 4 ounce Omaha Steak Burgers, 4 3-ounce Gourmet Franks, 2 4-ounce boneless pork chops, 4 3-ounce kielbasa sausages. And you know what? All of that, free shipping, and you'll get 4 ounce caramel apple tartlets, which are just fantastic. I can eat all 4 myself. And just for our listeners, this exclusive package is only $59.99. Go to omahasteaks.com, type HH in the search bar, and choose the perfect business gift. That's all you have to do. It's that simple. Go to omahasteaks.com, type HH in the search bar, and choose the perfect business gift. Again, omahasteaks.com, enter code HH in the search bar to send or experience for yourself this very exclusive gift package for only $59.99, specific to the Hagman Report listeners. Fantastic gift. So,
we are going to be joined by David Kapilian in just a few moments here. He's an award-winning American journalist, author, and vice president and managing editor of the online news giant WorldNet Daily. And we're going to be going to him in just a moment. I want to give you an update on a story we've been following now for a few weeks. Is the electronic attacks on U.S. diplomats in Cuba. There is a new medical report out today. Some U.S. diplomats in Cuba diagnosed with serious health conditions, medical records show. According to medical records reviewed exclusively by CBS News, a U.S. doctor who evaluated American and Canadian diplomats working in Havana diagnosed them with conditions as serious as mild traumatic brain injury.
Wow.
And damage to the central nervous system.
Are you sure? I mean, this is incredible news.
Yeah, this came out at about 3 p.m. today. The diplomats complained about symptoms ranging from hearing loss and nausea to headaches and balance disorders. after the State Department said incidents began affecting them beginning in late 2016. The people believe that they were targeted with some sort of sound weapon or some kind of unseen, less than lethal force sonic weapon.
Mm.
And apparently the medical records show that the injuries are much more severe. Mild traumatic brain injury, damage to the central nervous systems, and it's also come out that they believe there is much more personnel that has been hit
than have been reported.
Yeah. Yep. And they even say that the reports of this are still ongoing, of this happening to other people.
That's amazing.
Follow up with more later.
Indeed. Well, folks, if you haven't done so already, I would urge everyone to go to the WND Superstore, grab a hold of The Snapping of the American Mind. This book is a fantastic book. You have to wonder what's going on in the world today. Best-selling author and vice president of WorldNet Daily, David Kapelian, wrote this book. It is actually, the subtitle is Healing a Nation Broken by a Lawless Government and Godless Culture. That says it all, in my view. You know, America the Beautiful has become America the Bizarre. Government, we've seen openly defying the law. Christians are prosecuted as criminals. Children transition to the opposite sex. The former president supports our enemies. You know, you had the Obama administration, the regime just pushing forth this, the forces of political and cultural left, these unbelievably convoluted policies. What we saw, this revolution, this fundamental change discussed by Obama, it really had taken root in this country in profoundly negative ways. In this book, in Snapping of the American Mind, veteran journalist and best-selling author David Kapelian shows how the progressive left, and I've seen this and I've read about this, and it really puts this in perspective, which continues even despite the change of administrations. It continues to dominate America's key institutions. And this is something that we really have to take a look at, because where the gridlock is taking place, where the fight is within the American institutions, the Obama holdovers. And we're also seeing this information war with the news media. Look at what Don Lemon said last night after the speech with Donald Trump. But this fundamental change is affecting and much more than what the eye can see. And of course, Mr. Kapelian really does a great job in outlining that, but also the healing of the nation. And that, I think, is really a great 1-2 punch. Here's the problem. Here is how to overcome the problem. He's also the author of The Marketing of Evil as well, available at WND Superstore. Use promo code Hagman. Don't forget about that. But we are so honored to have with us, and so thankful to have with us, David Kapelian. Mr. Kapelian, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Hey, gentlemen, I'm glad to be on with you today.
Well, I'll tell you, I've seen you on various network news programs, and it's just so exciting to have you on here with us. So, thank you for that. Let me just start out by asking, because of your fantastic writing skills and your book, a glowing endorsement by Dinesh D'Souza, who we've had on, of course, and Sean Hannity as well. What prompted you to write this book? Because I feel a lot of spirit in this book. I don't know if that's the right word, but a lot of spirit, I guess, is the word.
I'll take it. You know, I'm in my 60s. I've been a journalist for 35 years and written 3 books. And, you know, they say in journalism as to who, what, when, where, why, and how. I'm mostly interested in the why, because to me, the why is the deepest question. It's the question where if you want to fix any of these vexing problems, you better know why, you know, this has happened, because otherwise you're not going to fix it. And our country, anybody who's been alive for a few decades know our country has changed radically, radically in our lifetime. And I've always wondered about that. I grew up in the 50s and the early 60s where I, you know, I didn't know anybody who was divorced. And yes, there was divorce, but it was uncommon. I didn't even know what abortion was. I barely knew what homosexuality was. Our country was, it was happy. It was strong. It was powerful, not just militarily, economically, but culturally. It was unified. Yeah, we had our crap. We had our problems. We had racial segregation, all the rest of it. Every generation has its blindness, has its faults. We weren't without faults. But this was a powerful country whose footprint on the world was overwhelmingly good. And since that time, it has steadily gone downhill. I have a chapter in The Snapping of the American Mind called The Blur. And I describe, you know, from Americans' point of view, what it's been like since the 1960s. Because 1960s, people, the hair grew long, they smoked pot, they took LSD and other drugs, and you had some weird stuff going on the college campuses, and then suddenly, a few generations later, we elect an out-and-out Marxist as president of the United States, Barack Obama. So here we are, we send our brave young men to foreign countries to fight and bleed and die to stop like an awful predatory system of government before it spreads and takes over the world. And we succeed at that largely. And then we come home and we look up at the pinnacle of power. We say, my God, not just the presidency, but our colleges and universities and our, I mean, even the social sciences are largely run by the left. The academy, the news media, my profession. Everywhere we look, our enemy has somehow come home and taken over all of our thought leader institutions. The news media, the academy, Hollywood, that make the movies that our young people go and look at and then they start thinking the same way. So I have a real interest in how the hell did this happen? And this is something that can be known. You don't find about it by going to school, because the school is run by those guys that did it to us. Doesn't that sound conspiratorial? It sure does, but it's not. You know, it's like they say, you're not paranoid if they really are trying to kill you. So this is what we're dealing with. We have basically an insane worldview. It got, you know, like you said, the subtitle of the book, Healing a Nation Broken by a Lawless Government and a Godless Culture. That does sum it up. We have this that is in ascendancy in our country today, and I do believe we got a reprieve, a chance to recover with the election of Donald Trump. You did not want to have Hillary Clinton as president, but it doesn't guarantee us anything. It just gives us a chance. But what has been going on for several generations now is basically the ascendancy of a lawless and godless worldview that, by the way, I'm just going to spit out right now, is rooted in a rebellion against God, against the Ten Commandments, against the Constitution, against the core Judeo-Christian principles that, you know, America did pretty well with for a couple centuries, and Western civilization did pretty well for a couple of millennia. They hate all that. They think it's all rotten. The latest thing is it's racist, but that's just because that's all they've got. Okay? They're basically in rebellion against reality, and we can go more into that, but you want to get hardcore. That's what you're dealing with. They are in rebellion against every one of the Ten Commandments. You know, thou shalt not commit murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, murder, we have 3,000 aborted babies a day. Steal, we have wealth redistribution, which is stealing. What was the next one? Adultery, we have the entire sexual revolution, which came to us from the left, which is basically based on taking the sacredness out of sex and marriage, and on down the line. So, and it's all perfume with this wonderful self-righteous, you know, social justice stuff, and all the rest of us are racist. But in reality, you have a literally insane, unhinged worldview that is has been up in the catbird seat right now, and you have a president and us deplorables out here, including in the news media, the alternative news media like WorldNet Daily, that are you know, fighting every day, just as you are, to right the ship. But you really do have a pitched battle. Some people call it a civil war going on in the country right now, and those are the two sides, basically.
You know, as I was reading your book, Mr. Kapelian, and folks, David Kapelian, in addition to being, well, he's an award-winning journalist, he's the vice president, managing editor of the online news giant WND, which really is a formidable foe against the Marxist, Luciferian, communist, convoluted agenda of the left. I've got to tell you, he's the editor of Whistleblower magazine. But as I was reading this book, and you mentioned the chapter of the blur, and I believe it was in that that chapter where you had an exchange with on air with Bob Beckel. Please tell me it was in that chapter. I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Okay. At least my memory. But I wanted to ask you, because when I read this, when I read your book, and specifically that chapter, I began to think about one thing. And you alluded to this at the beginning. How did we, well, I guess the answer is clear, but isn't it amazing how we went from the Reagan Revolution in the 80s, in the early 80s, and you experienced this, I experienced this, it's a new dawn, new morning in America, new day in America, I'm forgetting the exact verbiage of that, to now this Marxist, lawless, godless agenda of Barack Hussein Obama. Are you amazed in that short period of time all that took place? And then, of course, it really was exacerbated under Obama. I mean, isn't that mind-blowing?
It is. The speed that has happened has been mind-blowing. I mean, everybody cried for joy when the Berlin Wall came down. This was amazing. You know, Ronald Reagan, for those who are too young to have lived through it, was ridiculed about the way Trump is today. He was like a cowboy. He was the actor. He was wild. He had his finger on the nuclear trigger. He was the clown. He was an idiot. And meanwhile, he overcame the Soviet Union without firing a single shot. Okay, but that's just, you know, that was just an accident that could happen to anybody. You know, to this day, they don't credit Reagan with that. They rather credit Gorbachev with having, you know, committed suicide with
good,
his nation
point,
instead
yeah.
of being forced by the Pope and Thatcher and Reagan to detonate their Soviet Union. But that's just been, you know, that was 25, 30 years earlier, and then we had Obama. Obama, of course, let me just say this straight, okay? Nobody who is white could have been elected who had views like Obama. America had a national guilt because we had slavery, probably our worst national sin. Some people would say abortion is, but they're both awful. We had slavery, and then we had segregation. So there was a genuine national guilt over slavery and segregation. And there was a certain joy. I felt it before Obama, like, really screwed up and did such horrible things. There was a certain joy that Americans had at electing a black president. 69 million Americans voted for Barack Obama in 2008. Most of them are white, because only 13% of the voters of the population is black. But to show to the world that this is not a racist nation, this is, as I've said all the time, America is the least racist nation on the face of the earth, in case anybody out there didn't know. Okay? This is the least racist nation in all of history.
Amen.
And the evidence is that we elected a black guy twice as president. Racist nations don't do that, okay? But we had, you know, people not as radical as Obama before, like Mondale and Dukakis and McGovern, who were liberal left and not as crazy Marxist as Obama, and they win like one state, like Mondale, you know. So the great middle class of America that for so long has been so-called center right, okay, for decades, they do polls and they show that something like, I forget the numbers now, but between those who identified as being independent or in the middle and those who called themselves conservative, it was about 75%. You had like 20-21% that identified as liberal. It may be more than that now because we've had another generation brainwashed by our colleges, but still, America traditionally has been what we'll call a center-right country. So how we elect Obama? And I'm saying part of that is because the magnetism of the appeal, the allure of having a black president. I think it's a delightful idea to have a black president, if just to show, as I said, to the world that, you know, America bought into Martin Luther King's dream of a colorblind America. Remember Martin Luther King's dream? Will be judged not by the color of our skin, but the content of our character. We had segregation in the 50s. We had Jackie Robinson came out on the baseball field when he was the first major league player in the Brooklyn Dodgers, and you had a cop come out in the field and said, you have to get off the field because you're black. And, you know, Jackie Robinson is like, what the hell? I'm a player on the team. You know, this was crazy. This was part of our history not that long ago. That was in the 40s, okay? But America gave up all of that. We changed our minds in a single generation. When I say America, I don't mean there aren't a few idiots with a sheet over their head. Okay, we've always had that. Okay, I'm talking about the great engine of America, the middle class of America. They all... I grew up in a totally Jewish neighborhood. All my friends were Jewish. I had one black friend, because he's the only black kid that lived in the area. I don't have a racist bone in my body. I don't know any racist people. I barely even know of any racist people. And I'm an editor of a major news organization. I get thousands of emails a week. I hear from a lot of people. There are not a lot of racists out there. This is a total boogeyman created by the left because they have nothing else. Okay, nobody believes in them anymore, so they have to be like everybody's a racist. Okay, so that's where we are right now. We're fighting a civil war between the left and the right. And can I just make a comment also on the Bechel interview you brought up?
Keep going, brother. Yeah.
The reason I included that in the book, I was on Hannity. John Hannity is a friend. I've known him for 25 years. And I was on his show with Bob Bechel as a guest after the release of my previous book called How Evil Works. It's a good book. And we got talking about Obama. And I said, I started using words like socialism and Marxism to describe Obama. And Bechel started having like smoke coming out of his ears and saying, you know, he said I was like worse than Joe McCarthy, comparing, you know, Obama to a commie. He says, I gotta tell you, socialism, Marxism, there's nothing like that in this country anymore. And the point I make in the Snapping of the American Mind book is that Bechel, who I love Bechel, he's a good guy, okay? Even though he's, you know, he's kind of a crazy liberal, but he's a decent man, okay? He's too angry. But, you know, where I was going with that is that there is a new Marxism. Bechel was thinking, you know, he's like reading what Karl Marx wrote in the 1840s, which is a bunch of insane, horrible stuff. But the thing is that Marx's prophesied, international workers' revolution didn't happen, except in Russia. It didn't happen. And so all the true believer Marxists said, what the hell happened? It didn't happen. But they were true believers, so they still had to believe in Marxism. So they created a new Marxism, and that neo-Marxism, which is exactly what Barack Obama was and is not by means of revolution, which is quickly. It's by evolution. And so I unfold the whole story of the Frankfurt School, which was a bunch of Marxists in the 20s and 30s in America that came up. I'm talking about people like Herbert Marcuse, who made up the slogan, make love, not war, who all the hippies you know, peace, love, said during the 60s, not realizing they were echoing a dirty old Marxist, and others of the school, the Frankfurt School, that basically were saying, we need to have, the quote was, a long march through the institutions. It's going to take time, folks. Can't do it overnight. We can't do it in one generation. But we are going to take over the churches, the colleges, not just the colleges, but the whole school system, the news media, Hollywood. You know, when Ronald Reagan was head of the Screen Actors Guild, you know how many communists there were in Hollywood at the time? About 600. 600 card-carrying communists just in Hollywood. Okay, and a lot of these guys, to their credit, they later, you know, recanted their former infatuation with communism. Okay, these are, you know, top-tier name-brand actors and directors. But they were caught up with a bunch of crap. It sounded good to them. And then later on, some of them recanted. But, of course, Hollywood is still very left-wing today. But there is an allure to socialism. I mean, look, last year, you had how many millions of young college students who, God bless them, they don't know a damn thing, okay? They may be smarter than I am, okay? But they don't know anything. And what they do know, what they think they know, which they've learned in school, is mostly wrong because they've been going to school, and it's the leftists that run the school. So I'm not against them. I was a stupid young person once myself, too. Okay?
But you grow up.
You grow up, okay? And I'm sure a lot of these people will, too. But right now, they don't know crap, okay? And so they're all for Bernie Sanders. Why? Because Bernie wants to give me my college education for free. And Bernie wants to give me all this for free and that for free. And I like the sound of getting everything for free. Well, duh. Okay, but the thing is that's not how life works. Somebody has to pay for it, and they don't want to pay for it, and they shouldn't pay for it. And the fact is that they're not being taught about America, about what makes America exceptional. That's not a slogan. What has made America truly exceptional? They're not taught about the Constitution, or taught rightly about the Constitution. They're not talking about American history, except that we gave the Indians smallpox, and that we had slavery, and that we're an ugly, evil, malignant, predatory nation, that would be better to have our footprint on the world reduced, which is exactly what Obama did for 8 years. They're not taught anything about, you know, why what we call Judeo-Christian values are the necessary moral foundation. Like, why is it good to not sleep with everything that moves? Okay? You'll never find that out in college if you go to Ivy League college, okay? There are basically, look, the World War II generation, okay, the greatest generation, they believed a few things. Okay? They loved our country. They believed that human life is sacred. Okay, what does that mean? That means you don't kill little babies before they're born. You don't kill your parents when they get old and ornery and they don't remember who you are anymore and they're too much trouble and too expensive to take care of, so you don't kill them. Okay? We believe that sex was sacred. Okay? There's that eighth commandment. Okay? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay? Sex is for marriage because you have sex, then children come, and okay, children need a father and a mother. That makes sense. Okay? So we a few basic things like that, okay, are what Americans, we call them Judeo-Christian values. It doesn't have to do with whether you go to church or not. It's just some core universal moral values that basically everybody bought into. Everybody except those way out in the fringe. We always have a fringe, okay? It's okay. But I'm talking about the American middle class. These are the values that we embrace. And that made America great and unified, okay? And the left came along and said, yeah, you know, those thousands of years of Judeo-Christian values and the Constitution that kept us all the greatest, most prosperous, wonderful country for hundreds of years, they're crap. We don't like them, okay? Because we can't have our free sex, and we can't have a big, you know, a government to make everything free, like our college education. So we get rid of it all, okay? And people, if they oppose us, they're Nazis and racists. Okay. I'm caricaturing it slightly, not a whole lot. Okay. That is what we're literally dealing with right now in America. You've got, we don't have liberals anymore. Okay. My dad was a liberal. Okay. He would throw up over what the left was doing today. Alan Dershowitz is a liberal, the Harvard professor. He's a famous liberal. He says Antifa is trying to destroy America. Okay. So, and that means Antifa is not liberal. It's a leftist, you know, quasi-fascist organization that pretends to be against fascism. Okay. So the premise of the book, The Snapping of the American Mind, is not only that the left is crazy, because I think everybody mostly knows that who's listening. It is that the left is driving everybody else in America over the cliff too. And I go into all the areas of suicide and drug addiction and porn and family breakdown and all the pathologies that are ripping our beautiful country apart, and I trace them all back to the crazy left that's in rebellion against reality and trying to confuse everybody else. And you know, guys, we need to stop being confused. We just need to realize we don't have to be angry. Don't be angry. Angry is bad. Okay? You just have to see clearly. You're crazy. Okay? And I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to send my kids to your schools. And we're going to have another system that competes with you. And ours is successful because it always has been. And yours is a failure because it has failed in every country it has ever been used in. Look at Venezuela. Oil-rich Venezuela. Okay? God help you if you're in Venezuela now. So they have a failing system, and all they have is invective and calling people names and calling you a Nazi, and Trump's a Nazi. Trump is Hitler. Hitler killed 11 million people. Trump killed zero people. Trump is not Hitler. Okay? But it's all they've got. They call names, and they intimidate people, and that's how they hope to get back in power. God forbid.
You know, that's so right. True story, folks. This weekend, I just want to tell you this, Mr. Capellian as well. I have an office in my home, and I brought my book, or brought your book, with me to my home to finish reading it this past weekend. And my neighbor stopped by, and he sat down in my home office, and this is on my desk. He was there. He grabbed the book and started reading it. And I left for some reason, and I thought he had gone home. I walked back into my home office. It was like 20 minutes later. He's still sitting in the chair, side chair, reading your book. And he said, the first thing he said was, I want to send this to my son who's working on his master's degree in Austin, Texas. But he said, I'm going to send this to my son because it's just a fabulous, you know, a lot of facts and information. So I just thought it was kind of humorous because I thought he'd gone, long since gone, but he was so quiet in there reading your book. So it's a fascinating book, and it's inspiring as well. That story worked for me. I'm serious. I thought it was funny. My wife actually was kidding me about that today, saying, you know, remember when Jack was sitting here. Anyway, Mr. Capellian, and folks, our guest is David Capellian. He is the award-winning American journalist, vice president, and managing editor of the online giant WND, of course, and editor of Whistleblower magazine, fantastic magazine. And widely read columnist, and the author of two very influential books, The Marketing of Evil, published in 2005, and its 2010 sequel, How Evil Works. That's a great book, too. And you're right about that. And in fact, my neighbor Jack was saying, oh, I've seen this guy on television. I've seen him on Fox. But anyway, having said all of that, getting back to the topic at hand. Oh, and by the way, WND Superstore, if you want the book, use promo code Hagman, WND Superstore. I guarantee you that you won't be disappointed. In light of everything you said, and against the backdrop of everything you said and everything in your book, what did you think of Donald Trump's speech yesterday and the reaction to it by the lunatic, liberal, unhinged left, people like Don Lemon and such? And what does that say about where we are as a country and where the media is as a really a propaganda arm of the old regime or the communist left, if you will?
Well, when you were asking that, the image that came to mind was when you watch a ring fight, either, you know, MMA or boxers, whatever, and sometimes you'll have one fighter who will bait the other fighter. basically try to get them to react, get them angry. Because if you are angry, you do stupid stuff, period. Okay? You are not the same person. You don't have the same wits, the same judgment. If you are ticked off and angry and overreacting, it's just a different hard drive your brain connects into somehow. And I think that Trump, who rightly identifies the so-called mainstream media as whether it's the enemy or the fake news media, but certainly as an adversary that is openly dedicated to taking him down. This is warfare. I think they do not understand Donald Trump. You know, there are people that say that Donald Trump is mentally unbalanced. He has a low IQ. He's got, you know, mental problems. He's Hitler. You know, the guy is a New York real estate entrepreneur, one of the most successful in the world, became a multi-billionaire, built tall buildings all over the world, had a number one rated TV show. You don't get to do that by being either mentally deficient, having a low IQ. The man understands a lot. I think in a certain perverse sense, his flaws, which are kind of obvious also, almost serve his interests as a distraction. People are always underestimating him. You know, he said something dumb about John McCain. Oh, he's toast. It's over. He said the Access Hollywood. There's always counting him out. Okay. He rightly sees the media as a bunch of sharks. It's unbelievable. You're there at the White House. We have a White House reporter for WND, and it's just basically, and he talks to me about them, and he says, you know, these people, they're smart, but they are completely in a different mindset. They hate Trump. They want to take him down. There's no fairness. There's no objectivity. And so how is he going to combat that? He's one guy, and he's got the entire news media that have been intimidating politicians for as long as I can remember. So I think he is intentionally going for the jugular. You know, so when he says, you see the media out there, those people with the cameras, these are bad people. Okay. He doesn't have to do that, okay? But he is doing that in a calculated way because it's working for him. They get so angry, they say dumb stuff, they do dumb stuff, and you know what? They are really acting in a very dumb way. When you know, Wolf Blitzer is not a stupid man, okay, at CNN, but when he comes out and says that the Barcelona attack that injured 100 people and killed, what was it, 12 or 13 people, was a copycat crime from Chattanooga. Okay? When we have one of these, like, crazy jihadist vans going into people, like it started in Nice, where it killed, what, 84 people? Horrible terror attack. This happens, like, every month in Europe. Okay? But For Wolf Blitzer to somehow say that was a copycat crime from Chattanooga, that just
crazy.
Sounds like, wow, that is like really completely idiotic, Wolf. What are you thinking? Because and that's what I think of what Trump did, which wasn't different last night from what he does all the time with the media, is to rekindle this anxiety and angst on the part of the media to take him down. Because it makes them unbalanced, it makes them do dumb stuff, and they are not disappointing. They are doing all the dumb stuff every day.
And that's a destabilization tactic, as you point out. My wife and I were talking about that this morning, before I came to the studio, the reaction. And Joe, I know you, on your morning, or on your afternoon show, you and John talked about that. Well, go ahead.
And you know, I believe that the majority of the American people see through this liberal insanity that we see on the news, trying to, you know, link the Trump supporters to KKK and white supremacists. And so many of the people who are in the halls of Congress and the Senate who have come out, you know, like Nancy Pelosi, decrying these Confederate statues. I just read an article on, I don't know where it was, the Gateway Pundit, that talked about Nancy Pelosi's father actually, as the mayor of Baltimore, putting up the Stonewall Jackson statue and whatnot. And people are, they're trying to change history. You know, the Democrats were historically the party of the KKK and the suppressing of civil rights, but they don't want to get into that. David, I want to ask you this. What do you think the elections in 2018 are going to look like if we continue on the same media craziness and these divisive politics that we see in our country? How do you think that's going to play out into the elections?
Boy, your guess is probably as good as mine. Things are too they're too chaotic right now, and it's a little bit too far away to tell. That's, you know, it's more than a year away, and things could change very suddenly one direction or the other. The Democrats, of course, have been losing seats like it's going out of style every time there's an election, and if they don't have some very charismatic people running and some kind of a message other than Trump is Hitler and all of us, including all the people listening to you right now, are all Nazis and Klansmen, they're going to lose. By the way, can I mention about, you're talking about Pelosi wanting to take out the Confederate statues out of Statuary Hall in the Capitol?
Yeah.
We had a story the other day on WorldNet Daily. It's a great story. There are apparently 10 statues. There's 100 statues there. Each state puts two statues in. That's where the statues come from, in Statuary Hall in the U.S. Capitol. And 10 of them are these, you know, Civil War era statues that she wants to take out. Well, we did a little research to find out what is the political party affiliation of those 10 people. Okay. 9 of them were Democrats. Okay. And the 10th one was Robert E. Lee, who was never got into politics, so he wasn't either one. So this is what you can read about in the WorldNet Daily story. So this is Dinesh D'Souza's big thing. Other people have done this, but he's doing it in a very high profile way and bringing back the history of the left, because they write the history books, they control the colleges, they make people think that the Republicans have been all the slaveholders, okay, and the Democrats were the abolitionists and signed the Emancipation Proclamation to free the slaves. And wait a minute, I'm confused. That was Lincoln, party of Lincoln. Isn't that the Republican Party? And aren't the Democrats historically the party of the KKK? And they obscure all of that because people just kind of assume, because they believe the propaganda coming out of the propaganda ministry, the media, that somehow the Republicans have always been those who are, you know, against civil rights, and the Democrats have always championed it. It's just the opposite of reality. But again, if you just went to a government school, we call them public schools. That's a euphemism. They're government schools. You went to the government school system, you're going to learn the government's version of history, which is largely generated by the progressive left.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's very interesting, the statues and their party affiliation. And, you know, usually I wouldn't play into the, you know, we do go along party lines, the Democrats, Republicans, or the left and right, even though it is a tactic of division. But it seems that the more that we see this cultural and media chaos that we see, that's not really reflective of the rest of the country, only on a small minority, it seems that these people are, as I said earlier, moving at a breakneck pace towards some kind of goal, and that goal seems to be the destruction of the systems and foundations that made this country great, from capitalism to the Constitution to rights and whatnot. And if we can get into the Antifa movement, the anarchists, and how the media is protecting them, even promoting them, even with their slogans, peace through violence. You have CNN and MSNBC and these commentators and pundits excusing their violence, sticking up for them, saying it's okay if it's against, you know, racists, and how they label any and everybody who they oppose or who opposes their point of view and accepts everything they say as these racists, as these fascists. But I have a specific question here. With Antifa and their anarchist movement, they claim to be, you know, anti-racist and sticking up for the oppressed. How's that going to play out when they start concerning themselves with matters of Israel and the people of Israel? Because from what I've seen, we've seen their true colors come out, and when they're talking about the Jewish people. And also, this anti-racist slogan, there's just been a compilation of videos put out showing the Antifa violence towards a number of minorities who don't agree with what they say. How do you see this political movement, this domestic terrorist movement, it could be described as Antifa, moving forward, trying to be and be promoted by the media as being the righteous ones on the moral side as we move forward?
Well, the media kind of have to defend them because the look, as I think your previous guest was saying, the Russia collusion thing is kind of like gone kaput, okay? So they have to have a new narrative. The new narrative is the Klan and so forth. So these guys, Antifa, the leftist demonstrators, even violent demonstrators, have to be the good guys because it's a morality play. Somebody's got to be the good guy. There was, I forget, some one of the mainstream media reported today that in Boston, one of the violent leftist demonstrators there, they described in a photo caption as a peace protest or anti-war or peace protesters. They're going to play along with that as long as they can get, you know, because that's worse. Everything is worse than the KKK. Okay. Excuse me. KKK. I said the opposite. KKK is worse than anything else. Stalin, you know, murdered 20 million people, but the KKK, which barely exists anymore, by the way, in case anybody didn't know, there is very little of this. These people, you know, white supremacists, the KKK, to whatever extent they exist, are obviously losers. This is, you know, it's identity politics is stupid from anybody's point of view, whether it's Black Lives Matter or whether it's the KKK. This is, and it's also very un-American. This is not what America is an ideal, it's values, it's not what color your skin is. But going back, you're talking about, you know, Antifa and anti-Semitism. This is part of it's more of the brainwashing on the left. Most of the anti-Semitism today is on the left. That goes against their narrative. Oh, right-wing anti-Semitic Nazis. The Nazis were against Jews, so that means, and the Nazis were right-wingers, right? Wrong, okay? Anybody know what Nazi means? You know, it was a National Socialist, what was it, German Workers Party, okay? Socialist. It was a socialist party. Where did this idea come from that somehow Hitler was a conservative Christian right-winger? It doesn't exist. It was never true. But this was part of the mythology of the left because they've got to have the grand boogeyman to balance out communism, which killed far more people. Well, let's say a ton. Killed, depending on what numbers you go with, 40, 50, 60 million people. I can't even comprehend that kind of a number, okay? I'm in the news business. So somebody kills like 3 people or 5 people, it's a horrendous story. I can't even comprehend 40, 50 million people, okay? And yet, Barack Obama's former communications director in the White House, Anita Dunn, publicly said at the Sidwell Friends private school in Washington, D.C., she made a speech, you can see it on YouTube, that Mao Zedong is one of her favorite political philosophers. The man killed more people than anybody else in the history of the world. Okay? And that is why you have to have, if they don't exist, you have to invent Nazis and, you know, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. You have to create the boogeyman of the modern day Hitler. You have to create the Ku Klux Klan. And that's why the media really have to defend Antifa. You know, the lie is inherent in the name of the group, anti-fascist. You look at what Antifa, or however they pronounce their name, what they did at Berkeley, right, when Milo Yiannopoulos was trying to give a speech there, they went and they acted more than anything else like Nazi brown shirts on Kristallnacht in 1938. Remember that? Going from door to door and breaking all the windows of the Jewish businesses and so forth. Terrifying night, okay? Okay, there they are breaking the windows of businesses that have nothing to do with Milo or those for him or against him. It's just because they're there to demonstrate on behalf of freedom and free speech. So they're going to shut down free speech and they're going to break some poor guy's window there. Okay. So these guys should be in prison. I'm with the, what the former, Secret Service agent Dan Bongino said the other day. He said he was a New York City cop during the Giuliani days. He said, you know what? Giuliani, you know, everybody knows the Giuliani rule. You throw a window, you throw a bottle, you go to jail. Next guy throws a bottle, he goes to jail. Pretty soon, people realize that if they throw bottles, they're going to go to jail, and people stop throwing bottles. Okay? That's all you have to do. It works. It's a proven principle called consequences. Okay? So, you know, Antifa, who knows where it's going to go, but they, ever since the emergence of the white supremacist movement, which in the minds of the left is like, you know, they have lurid fantasies. This is like in every town and hamlet in America. It's overrun by people in sheets. Again, I wouldn't even know how to find, if I wanted to interview one, I wouldn't even know how to find one of these people. Okay? Except I suppose I could look up David Duke. Okay? Who nobody gives a rip about except the left. They always say, oh, David Duke, who can we tie him to now? So let's go see who he voted for, and then we'll like go and malign some poor Republican who doesn't care about David Duke. Okay, so this is a boogeyman, but they have to have the counter boogeyman, which is Antifa, and so they're going to have to do their best to defend them, even though they are totally indefensible, in my view.
Wow, what a great, absolutely right on the money in my opinion. Our guest, David Kapelian, he's an award-winning American journalist, vice president, and managing editor of the online news giant WND. Go to WND Superstore. Get a hold of his book, The Snapping of the American Mind. Yeah, I wanted to merge the title and the subtitle.
And we have
the subtitle is healing a nation broken by lawlessness, government, and godless culture. Yeah, and the other book is great as well.
The Marketing of Evil: How Radicals, Elitists, and Pseudo Experts Sell Us Corruption Disguised as Freedom.
And then a sequel to that as well.
The Marketing of Evil.
I got to tell you. And we are so proud. And Mr. Kapelian, I want to thank you, publicly thank you, for allowing us to team up with such a, respected journalistic entity such as WND and be a part of, the WND Superstore. Thank you for allowing us to do that. And thank you for.
Thank you.
You know.
Could I just mention?
Sure.
If your listeners go to themarketingofevil.com, that list has all my books there.
Oh, good.
All three up there, and there's audio books and ebook versions and all that. So they can see all of them and read all about them there and get all the information about it. Marketingofevil.com.
Yeah, that's another. I haven't quite finished that book, but that's really something. That's an eye-opening book, by the way. But yeah, I just want to thank you and Mr. Thompson, Michael Thompson. You know, your platform, WND, in my view, is one of the most formidable allies in fighting against the deception of the left, of the progressives, of the communists out there. And I'm proud to know you, and I'm proud that you're on this program. I really am. And folks, David Kapelian is an amazing man, in my view. I mean, you've gone head to head respectfully, with a lot of people, like Bob Beckel, for example. Intellectual discourse. It's really, you know, it's you've changed. I really believe you've changed a lot of minds and hearts of people watching you. So my thanks, my hats off to you. It's incredible
Thank
stuff.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's my pleasure.
Well, all right. Please come back and visit with us.
Be happy to.
Again. All right. David Kapelian has been our guest for this hour. Again, the award-winning American journalist, vice president, and managing editor of the online news giant WND, editor of Whistleblower Magazine. That's a great magazine, too. I love getting that. I just the information in that. As a matter of fact, we use that for show prep. don't tell anybody. No, of course, tell everybody. But Mr. Kapelian is, I've watched him on Fox News, and it's tremendous. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple of quick announcements here while we have the time. Folks, don't forget, tomorrow night is the prayer meeting. Go to paulmcguire.us to get all the information and register there. It's the Paradise Mountain Church prayer meeting, and that is free to attend. You just need to pay for the parking, and you need to register on Paul McGuire's site, paulmcguire.us. And again, folks, don't forget about the two other shows that we've been doing into week five now. The Doug Hagman Show, 9 to 10 a.m. on Global Star Network Channel 3, as well as Blog Talk Radio, live and archived, and the Hagman Daily Show with John and myself, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on Global Star Channel 3, as well as live and archive on Blog Talk Radio.
Can we get some feedback on that? I mean, really.
We've been getting some. It's been trickling in, more so. Not a lot of people, maybe one or two a day.
Really? Well, you know, if you want, we want to send an email, I'd like to know what people think of that. Studio at Hagman and Hagman.com.
We're right up against the break. I want to just mention this story that I was reading during the last hour. Cleveland, Ohio, a man attacked a 51-year-old woman out of the blue and then accused her of being a racist and what police are investigating as a hate crime. This guy came up to this lady, sucker punched her in the face, and then started screaming that the lady that he punched was a white supremacist, to the point where people around them started yelling at the victim who was hit. But the police came in, and the photo of this man was released. They are still looking for him. But is this a trend that we're going to start seeing? Unprovoked violence, and then being excused by racist pleas. Folks, we'll be right back with Pastor David Langford. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God particle before CERN actually discovered the God particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentations. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.